It was nothing short of a dream for a football club nestled in the valleys of Kashmir to kick off their very first season in top flight Indian football with a win over the reigning league champions. Well, what am I talking about? Just hold on to your breath, you'll have your answers soon. Hey listener, and welcome to a brand new episode of Injury Time. And in this episode, we'll be talking all I-League. And joining me on this very special episode is Dibayan Sen from Bangalore. Hey Dibayan.
Hi, what's up?
Doing good, Dibayan. How's Bangalore weather treating you?
Yeah, it's quite good. In fact, just getting back from a game of football early morning, so nothing like it.
All pumped up then.
Yeah.
And also joining us on the show is Orko Bhattacharya from Delhi. Hey Orko, good to have you on the show.
Hey, I'm good to be back. I can't say my weather same as Bangalore's. In fact, stepping outside could be potentially deadly now. But yeah, I mean, that's what Delhi charm is about.
Well, that's what Delhi Diwali is all about, isn't it? All right, guys, without wasting much of a time, right, just dive right into it. Big match for Real Kashmir FC making their I-League debut, Dibayan, up against the reigning champions, Minerva Punjab. Did you expect the game to pan out the way it did?
Well, I mean, looking at the way that Minerva Punjab played their opening game, to be very honest, yes, it looked like they could be right for the taking. But full credit to Real Kashmir for the way that they played. I don't think strategically they did anything too great, but they seem to have the basics covered. They have a pretty decent defense. And once they get the ball up to the forwards, then they are capable of getting goals. But yeah, the bigger challenge will really come against teams which are better organized. I think at this moment, Minerva Punjab just aren't playing well enough.
Orko, your thoughts on this game? Did you expect Real Kashmir to start off their first I-League campaign with a win?
I agree with Dibayan. If you look at the match, if you look at their first match, they were lethargic. And I think it showed again yesterday. Real Kashmir's goal, I don't think there was anything special about the goal. But it was fully deserved. And Minerva, yes, we can expect them to struggle this season from the basis of their first two games.
Based on the first two games, this was the second game for the reigning champions. In the first game, they were up against Churchill Brothers, a game that ended in a draw, Dibayan. Did you expect the defending champions to start the way they have started two games, just a point on the board? Is this a way you see a defending champion start the campaign?
Yeah, it's disappointing, no doubt, from their perspective. But I think this has been a trend in recent years in the I-League. We have seen defending champions, what invariably happens, and especially teams which have come out of the blue and won the league title. All their best players have sort of gone away, been taken up by the bigger clubs. And I think one key factor which is missing for them, obviously is Chencho Gyalchen. Because last year as well, their strategic sort of output was very similar. They used to defend very well. They used to, you know, put all bodies on the line, and then they used to hit teams on the counter. This year, they don't have that. I mean, they're trying to create a similar sort of Chencho role for Nongdamba, but he's probably a little too inexperienced to be able to fill into those boots. It'll take them time, but I would expect them to improve as the season goes on. And let's see what Paul Munster, their technical director, can bring to the table in terms of strategy. But yeah, I think they'll find it difficult this season for sure. I would take them down for somewhere around the mid-table at best.
A mid-table finish for Minerva is what Dibayan is saying. But Orgo, coming to you, another team that has shown tremendous progress so far in this season, two games on, is Gokulam Kerala FC. First up against Mohun Bagan in Kozhikode, they managed to draw that game. And then Nerauka again in Kozhikode, another draw.
Yes, before the season, when we spoke, Naveen, I think I spoke about Gokulam as one of the dark horses. In the first match against Mohun Bagan, they went down to a first half goal. But then they came back strongly in the second half. And even though the goal itself wasn't the cleanest, it was fully deserved because they pushed Mohun Bagan. And Mohun Bagan was, I think they took their foot off the pedal and they paid the price for it. Then again, we saw Bodo scoring yesterday. So these are encouraging signs for Gokulam and two draws. But I think to mount a serious challenge, they need to convert these draws into wins.
Dibayan, that about Gokulam, but what about one of the giants of football in India, Mohun Bagan? This could be their last chance to win an I-League title before the supposed move to ISL happens. Do you see things going as per plan for them?
Yeah, I mean, on paper, they have a very good squad, and I'll be very interested in seeing how the influence of Shankarlal Chakraborty goes, because at the end of the day, they've just won the Calcutta League for the first time in a long, long time. They've taken a lot of the best players from the, you know, rest of the I-League pool. And I think they will come good eventually. The first game, yes, it was disappointing from them. And I thought they started that match well, but Gokulam sort of grew into the game much better. And from Gokulam's perspective, it was quite interesting to find Antonio German. I think he played a lot better when he was playing with Kerala Blasters. Maybe he just underestimated the level of the I-League. He probably thought it would be a walk in the park for him. But maybe once he improves, it might bring Gokulam back into the fold a lot better. But yeah, on similar lines, I think Mohan Bagan will also improve as the season progresses. And as with all the Kolkata teams, I think a lot will depend on how they perform at home.
Well, Antonio German might not have had the best of games so far, but one player who's really surprised there is Arjun Jayaraj. Dibayan, you surprised to see this player play this well for the team?
I think what you see with both, say, Gokulam Kerala as well as Chennai City, they've given birth to a few really good talents. Arjun Jayaraj has been there, then Susai Raju is now with the ISL, so many of them, Edwin Vanspol. And this is what the beauty of the I-League is, that there are so many local players, local talents who will be coming up, who will be performing well. And if only for the low profile of the I-League, otherwise they'd probably be talked more regularly as India prospects. And all of these guys are extremely talented. They have that drive. I-League still is the top division of the country, so that is due respect to it in that sense. And it's a great platform for them because at least, you know, every game is being covered. People are following it. People are chattering about it on social media. And any good performances will always be noticed. And I think that's where it comes from, because at the end of the day, South India has always produced a lot of good, skillful players. Of late, what they probably haven't had enough is opportunities to play for a club based in that region. And thankfully, that has been sort of sorted out in the last 2-3 years, whether by choice or by chance.
Well, talking a little more about the social media chatter, last season, I remember when Nongdom Manavaram scored that crazy goal against Churchill Brothers, if I'm not wrong. Orko, you were there at that game. Social media just went berserk about that.
Yeah, it was a Shillong Lajong game.
All right.
And Nongnama had I think beaten 4 defenders on his way to scoring past Nirthul Chelyu at the Lajong goal. So yes, the social media did go berserk. Spectators at the Ambedkar Stadium also went berserk. It was talked about. Also, it was the debut of Floyd Pinto as a I-League coach, because Louis Norton De Matos had gone home that day, and Pinto, he said, you know, we go out there, play with an open mind, which is what he said in the post-match press conference. And they did. They played like that, and they played like that again against Chennai City in their first game. So I think we can expect a lot more of this from the Arrows this season. They'll be more adventurous. They'll concede more, but they'll score more as well.
Well, Dibayan, do you agree to that? That first game against Chennai City FC, an away game for Indian Arrows, a 1-3 loss for them. What did you make of that?
Yeah, it's an interesting point that Orko makes, because obviously they are a developmental squad, so in that sense they don't have that fear of relegation, and they should play without any kind of fear, because for them it's all about impressing potential clubs in the future, looking for more opportunities for age group football in India. And in that sense, I think it's a great start. It was a dream start. Amarjeet scored inside 2 minutes, and we were all just going crazy, those of us who were watching it in the office. And it was unfortunate that they lost, but that's what will come. I think, as Orko said, they'll be a lot more adventurous. They'll play a lot more open football, and that'll lead to a few more avenues for the other teams to score. And yeah, I mean, I think it'll be a great opportunity for somebody like a Prabh Sukhan Gill, because he'll have to be called into service a lot more. And just to finish off that chat about Nongdama's goal, I wonder why that didn't feature among the best goals of the season. I think it must have been better than most of the goals that Salah scored.
Absolutely. Well, that about Indian Arrows, but what about their opponents in that opening game, Dibayan? Chennai City, what do you make of it? Too early to rule them out, or too early to state them as a title contenders?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you never know with I-League, but I don't know if they'll be ready for title contention. But I think they have shown over the last couple of seasons that they are a team which improves. They are a team which learns a lot from their lessons. And I think they should have a decent finish. I don't know how high it will go. But they seem to have at least the basics covered. They have a good Spanish contingent in that sense. So I think they could be an interesting team to watch out for.
Well, that about Chennai City FC, but Orko, coming to you, another team that has shown tremendous progress over the past few seasons is Naroka FC. Made their debut last season in the I-League, finished second in the league, but not a satisfactory start for them so far, losing to East Bengal in their opening game and then being held by Gokulam in the second.
Yes, I mean, I think Glenn Williams' mistake for the first goal, it really, you know, put them on the back foot. And they're being managed by Manuel Frail, who managed Aizawl in their first season in the I-League, if I'm not wrong. So they're going to be, again, like Aizawl in that season, played really good football, but maybe the results weren't as good because the defense was exposed. Naroka's form last year depended a lot on the fact that they conceded very few goals and they're very strong at home. And they've already lost the first game to East Bengal at home. So, yeah, I think Naroka might just struggle this year. Also, they've also lost their, I think, left back, John Donba, to Chennai. So, I think Naroka could potentially finish mid-table this season.
Well, Orgo predicts that Naroka might struggle these seasons from one Northeast team to the other two Northeast team in the I-League. It was a derby day in that game when Shillong took on Aizawl. They won a 1-1 draw, a clear reflection of how the game panned out that day?
Yeah, I think the best game of the lot so far in the I-League. Simply because Lajong, we weren't expecting much out of them, or at least we were not sure what to expect with an all-Indian team. But the kind of attacking flair they showed, the kind of combination they showed, this looks like a team which could upset a lot of calculations for a lot of other sides. And this is what you expect from Lajong. I remember when they played their first I-League season 2009, they also made the Federation Cup final then. And their strength always was the youth and the local talents that they had. And in a way, they've just gone back to basics. They've gone back to what made them so special to begin with. And I think that bodes well, not only for Northeast football, but for Lajong generally. Aizawl, I think the first game, they looked a little rusty. They should improve as the season progresses. And by and large, the three Northeast derbies or the six Northeast derbies will probably be really exciting games to watch for this season, because Naroka as well, they haven't started well, but they have quality in their ranks and they should improve as the season progresses. Always difficult to bounce back from an opening, you know, round defeat, that too at home. But I think they will get better a little bit as the season progresses.
Well, fantastic football on the pitch and a fantastic atmosphere built up by the fans in the Northeast. But Orko, I need to ask you this. What is it about teams like Shillong that they keep churning out these youngsters year in and year out? What is so special about the clubs and the teams in the Northeast?
Well, I was just going to come to that. You know, as Devan said, the game was probably the most exciting. And I really can't disagree with that. So, I have to make an interesting observation, because prior to the season, we spoke about Aizawl and Shillong, and we talked about how they were not the best in their local leagues. As in, Shillong reached the final of the SPL this time, but lost 3-0 twice to Lansing, which is a I-League 2 side. Similarly, Aizawl didn't win the MPL last time, and last I checked, they were third this time in the MPL table. So, the local league is very strong, is exceptionally strong as compared to the other local leagues throughout the country. And these sides then can pick the cream of the local talent from the other sides. So, that helps. Also, you know, when you're exposed to this level of football within Aizawl, within Shillong, say you tend to get better. So, Shillong's season has actually started before the I-League, because they've been playing the SPL campaign. So, they're in a bit of, for them, it's mid-season. You could call it mid-season when you consider all the competition that they're participating across. Same for Aizawl. So, I think these are very important factors that you're taking into account.
Well, Debayan, a little more on that. More number of games tends to make a football player better as he progresses. Do you agree to this? Because even in Calcutta, if I'm not wrong, the Calcutta League is fiercely competitive.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what we are seeing in Northeast over the last 10 years, I would say, in football is the explosion of talent. And what they've never had before is that kind of platform to perform at the national level, because we've always known that there are regional leagues. The Mizoram Premier League is one of those which, long before I-League had all games covered live, it's got, you know, television coverage and it's got superstars of their own. So, they obviously have that sort of ambition to, burning ambition to take to sport. They have that burning ambition to play football. And there is phenomenal amount of skill in that region. All it needs is good, you know, shaping up, some good coaching. And that's what's been improving in recent years. We've seen that with all these clubs, there's a lot more local coaches which are getting involved, mostly at youth levels as well, but not only at that. I mean, Sangbai Singh Pro, I think, did a terrific job with Shillong Lajong as well. You know, took them to their best I-League finish. And the work that he's been doing with Kerala Blasters has also been quite visible in the ISL. So that will only improve as more and more teams from that region join the I-League. As Arko said, get more exposure to what national football is all about. They'll make mistakes, but you will see talents. I mean, somebody like Samuel Lalmohan Puiya, who has improved so much over the last couple of seasons. He's a much more versatile player now. And we saw that in Lajong's first game. They had so many good young players who were just bursting onto the scene. And they made an impression in their first game already. And I think a lot more of them will become household names by the end of the season.
Well, the I-League might not have a bright future from what we understand, but players in Shillong, the teams in Shillong definitely have, primarily because of the regional leagues that happen in that region. Well, guys, that's all on the wrap up of the first game week of the I-League. But we are not done yet, because on the other side of this break, we'll be discussing something much more important. Hey, listener, and welcome back to Injury Time, your one-stop shop for everything Indian football. So like I mentioned just before the break, there's some trouble brewing in the I-League. And Orko, could you just enlighten us, what is this whole letter that clubs in the I-League have written to the AIFA? What are they demanding there?
So, as you know, Naveen, the I-League provides a subsidy for the clubs, travel subsidy and other miscellaneous subsidy involved here. So, they wanted more, because last year, if I'm not wrong, it was 75 lakhs per club, and this year, it's 45. So I think they also demanded better broadcasting from the from Star, and I think they wrote clubs excepting East Bengal, Mohun Bagan and Churchill Brothers. All the I-League clubs wrote in to the I-League asking for this.
Well, Dibayan, coming to you first up, that about the complaint that I-League has filed with the AIFF, subsidies coming down, that's a big blow for the clubs. Especially these clubs in the I-League struggle with money a lot than their cash-rich counterparts in the ISL, isn't it?
Yeah, but you know, I'm actually going to play devil's advocate here, and I don't know if I'll be very popular on the panel, but yeah, I have to bat a little bit for AIFF. In fact, I also did reach out to a few people at the All India Football Federation. So what's exactly happened here is that the last I-League season, there was an increase in the subsidy which was given out to the clubs. But the primary reason for that was that there was a new club joining in. I think Gokulam Kerala would have been the one joining in 2017-18. So there was a fee that was paid by that club, which increased the central pool that AIFF had to give out to all the clubs. So that hasn't happened this time. Obviously, there's been only a promotion for Real Kashmir. There's been no new club joining the I-League as such. And that has obviously affected the overall pool. And I think the second question is, the larger question generally is, you've got to look at the future of the I-League. And of course, there should be equal marketing. And that's the responsibility of AIFF and essentially their marketing partners. I mean, those who must not be named. They are essentially in control of football right now. So it's really their call, because ISL is also their product, and if they have to look at I-League as their own product, then they will give it more nurturing and development. But at the end of the day, I mean, if you view it from a fan's perspective, an Indian football fan, you know, we've been actually crunching numbers at ESPN over the last few weeks. ISL attendances are dropping. ISL ratings are dropping. I-League is on the up. I-League numbers have actually practically doubled over the last season. This season has begun very well. So the fans are doing their bit. The clubs are doing their bit. There's nothing much that has changed. If anything, you could theoretically say that the best players no longer play in the I-League. But the league is in the pink of health. And that's where we have to send out this message, that we are backing this league. And EIFF, I mean, in their infinite wisdom, they might look to close this league down at some stage, which is probably why they don't want to, you know, put too much money into it. But we just have to back it up from our end. We have to make sure that we make noise on social media. We have to make sure that we watch every game. So it's a positive development. At least that Star is showing it, or the Hotstar is streaming most of the games. I think they are at the moment planning to show every game, which is a great development as well. The thing like having it on HD and all, I think those are tiny things. And in a sense, you can see that, you know, the division between the newish clubs and the older ones. I think the older ones probably, they also have a backup plan, because most of them think that they will be in the ISL tomorrow anyway. But let's not get too much into the nitty-gritty of that. I think what the issue here is of communication. I think what seems to be the case is maybe the EIFF is not communicating enough with these clubs. From what I have often found when I've reached out to some of these club owners is that they don't get enough letters on time. But I think there's always two sides to every story, because then EIFF claims that, yeah, we've sent the letter, they are not telling the truth. So I don't know whom to believe, to be very honest.
Well, Orko, how do you respond to this? Devayan says it's a lack of communication that has created all this problem. But how do you see this whole problem affecting the league, if it will, in the coming days?
He's not wrong on this, that there's a lack of communication, because I was at the meeting last year of the I-League clubs that decided that they wanted to increase the number of foreigners. So how it went down was very bizarre, because inside, I think all teams agreed to it. It was a proposal mooted by East Bengal and Mohan Bagan, supposedly. And then they came out and said, no, we don't want that many foreigners in our league. And then they had a compromise and it was increased, but not to the extent that East Bengal and Mohan Bagan wanted. They wanted on par with the ISL. Yes, there is a lack of communication. It is very, it is very clear. It's also very surprising, because today some of these people have posts which are pretty high up the football chain. If you look at Larsing Ning Sevan, the owner of Shillong Lajong, he's on AFF's development committee. You have Rohit Ramesh, who's now heading the Chennai football. So, Robert Troite of Aizawl works very closely with each and every club in that region, you know, in order to promote Mizoram football. So, I don't know why this lack of communication was, but it's not new. And one possible factor could be that the league's fixtures are only announced in 3 weeks, or last time it was actually 10 days prior to the league start. And Ranjit Bhai raised this point in the past, saying, you know, we don't get enough time to quote sponsors. Hence, they might have to fall back on subsidy. So, yes, if the fixtures were to probably be released a month or 2 months in advance, like we see for the ISL, this could help out all parties concerned.
Well, Devayan, a little more on that, especially on the subsidy front. How much of the onus falls on the clubs themselves to fund themselves, rather than depending heavily on the subsidy that comes from the centre?
Yeah, I mean, again, I'm going to sound a bit like an old timer. You know, in the good old days of the National Football League and everything, it was understood that running a club in India is basically a CSR activity. You really don't look at the, you know, profit and loss side, because there's nothing much in it. I mean, you're putting in a lot of money and what you're getting out of it is probably a fraction. If you win every trophy in the season, if you compete in Asia and everything, you get in sponsorships and everything, it probably works out to about 1/5 is what you recover. So that was conventionally the economics which worked at that point of time. I think that being said, Indian football has moved on from there. There's probably a better revenue model. I'm not sure about it, but there's probably a revenue model which is slightly more elaborate and slightly more profitable for IFL. But for I-League, we're still a long way off again. And that's why I repeat that point, that it all depends on whether EIFF and IMG Reliance. I mean, we know where their stand was 2 years ago. They didn't want I-League to be the premier league of the country, and they wanted to relegate it to the second division. But whether that happens or not, from what I understand, AFC has sort of given them pretty much a sort of, you know, free a leeway to do as they please. And that might happen sooner or later. Yes, a lot of purists are upset about the fact that there is, you know, a closed league at the top of the division. But if you reverse it and think from it from the perspective of the franchises. When they're putting in good money into it, maybe they don't want to, you know, open the risk of getting relegated and having to compete in the second division by default. So it's a very complicated situation and there are no easy answers. I think what's also working a lot in the favor of AIFS at the moment is that thankfully the national team is doing well. So sometimes that brings in a lot more positive spin on a lot of things. You know, they played China, they didn't play very well, but they came away with a 0-0 draw. So a lot of people are looking at the scoreline and saying, wow, we competed with China. I mean, people obviously didn't watch the match enough and didn't see all the number of times the Chinese players rattled the crossbars. But these are things which are just helping, you know, push away a lot of things under the carpet, brush them away and defer a lot of debate about the state of Indian football itself for a later date, maybe after the Asian Cup. But I think all of these decisions have to be taken. And unfortunately, AIFF fans are tied because in 2010, they signed a deal for 15 years, if my memory serves me right. So in 2025, it will be as per what the marketing partners want. And I don't think technically they want the I-League. It's a very unnatural compromise that they're doing by allowing it to go forth. And if you recall the recent press release about this being the third best ranked league in Asia or something, and then somebody just put it out. I think it might have been Orko. Somebody put it out that it was actually the third best in alphabetical order. So that's the kind of, you know, I mean, it's just the kind of nonsense we sometimes have to sift through. And we just have to keep our eyes on the road and make sure that Indian football is getting to the right places. If AIFF isn't doing its job from time to time, then it's up to us journalists to just remind them that, yes, you know, we are catching your bluff and this is things as they stand.
So it seems like as long as the national team is performing, this volcano of problems that is staring down at Indian football in general just might not erupt. Well, guys, that's all we have on this episode of Injury Time. Dabayan, thanks a lot for joining us and sharing all your thoughts on the hot topics from the world of Indian football.
Thanks.
And Orko, like always, it was pleasure listening to you talk Indian football.
Yeah, thanks, Arvind, for having me on this show.
And hey, listener, thanks a lot for being on the show this long. Next week, we'll be back again with two shows, one on the ISL, another one covering the I-League. Until then, have a great week and enjoy the game.